What's up, everyone, and welcome to episode number 430 of the Action Movie Guys podcast. I'm your host, Nate, and my co-host is
Alex Figueroa.
And on this episode, Alex and I are going to be wrapping up our Assassin movie month. So the movies we paired with the Has Fallen movies were all based on either hit or assassins of some sort. We did Ninja Assassin, then we did Smokin' Aces, and today we are going to be going back to 1994. For kind of a groundbreaking film for this director, especially Luc Besson's Leon the Professional. We'll just call it that. It has both names in it. This movie, of course, stars Jean Reno, Gary Oldman, and a young Natalie Portman. I think she was 12 or 13 when she made this movie. And she looks exactly how she looks as an adult, but mm-hmm. shrunken. But little. So yeah, we're going to be covering this. I know Alex has never seen this movie, so it's the first time watch for him. I've seen this. I can't tell you how many times I've seen this movie. A lot. But before we get into it, let me go ahead and give you a little, you know how I like to do. I don't do box office numbers, but give you a little background and give you some Rotten Tomatoes scores. This was Luc Besson's first English language film. He, of course, broke onto the scene with La Femme Nikita, which is in French. Then this movie, then The Fifth Element came after this. They were kind of like back to back. Also, you have in the beginning of this movie, Alex, you might have seen there's a scene where this big fat guy got like a prostitute he's with. She's got blonde hair. That is the blue lady from The Fifth Element, the opera singer.
Oh, okay.
That is the same. That was the director's wife. So that's the only reason I know that. They were married at some point. She was like a French model or something. But anyway, it's her. So that was kind of neat. And of course, Gary Oldman playing a villain in back-to-back Luc Besson movies. Villain in this and in The Fifth Element as well. So that was his, Gary was his guy, I guess. He's like, Gary, I need you to play a weirdo. Are you in? And he showed up. So just a couple fun facts. Rotten Tomatoes, I believe both of these numbers are accurate, unlike our last movie where there was some kind of make-believe nonsense. This has a 75% with critics, which I'll be honest, I thought was a little low personally, but you gotta remember at the time this came out, this was like a really violent movie and it was looked at differently a lot of times when there's like these uber violent movies in the mid 90s, because it was the same year like Pulp Fiction, 94. But the audience score on this bad boy is a 95%, which unlike that movie, I believe it because most of my friends who have seen this love this movie. Unlike anyone I know who has seen Angel Has Fallen, I've never heard anyone say I love that movie. So I don't know. What do you think about all this information?
Very interesting. I never seen it. So for those of you out there listening, I never seen it. So please don't be offended with the stuff that I'm about to say about this movie. Like, I never seen that at all. Never even, I heard it because I brought the 4K, but I just never came around to it. Every time I was going to pop it on, Nate said, do not pop it on because we're going to do it on the podcast. So now I finally saw it. Now
finally popped it on.
Yes. And he told me not to watch the extended cut because I was mad close.
Yeah. No.
I was like, oh my God.
And I'll explain kind of the differences. It is longer by a good portion. It's like almost 20. It's like 22 minutes longer, I think. But it's creepier than this version. So anyone who finds this version a little creepy because of the dynamic between him and her because she's young, that one's worse. And so I usually don't even bother. Some people like it because it does. So on one hand, it fleshes her out a little more, Matilda. But on the other hand, it has a little bit. To me, I find it more creepier. And because it's longer, there's not any added action scenes. So I don't really, I usually don't watch it. Plus, Luc Besson said the theatrical cut is his version. The other one, they just wanted him to add more stuff. So he just calls it the longer version. He doesn't really call it a director.
Gotcha.
So I was like, don't bother with that one, personally. Okay, so let's get it. I want to hear what you have to say. My thoughts are going to be very simple on this, I'm sure. Because again, it's a movie I've seen a lot. I always like to hear your thoughts on a first time watch. So we're going to start with our lead character. We'll do both because they're kind of a team here. We have Jean Reno as Leon, the assassin, and we have Natalie Portman as Matilda.
Rough watch. And I'm going to say why it's a rough watch. Because this girl falls in love with this guy. Now, I don't know how long they knew each other because it doesn't distinguish that. He does know that the parents hit her. He knows that she smokes. But you really don't know how long they've been living in that building for him to know her demeanors and whatever she does and all that stuff. So, but still creepy as fuck. I'm not going to lie. This thing is really like, I mean, she's super young and she falls in love with this dude. Even the scene that she's like laying in bed and she goes, oh, I love you. And he's just like, laying there, and I was just like, yo, this is some creepy European shit. You could tell it's European, because Americans don't want to write nothing like that creepy stuff. Mm-hmm. I'll be honest. But get to the characters. I did like her background. Her parents abused, or her dad abused her, slapped the shit out of her in the beginning. I was like, damn.
Yeah.
Slapped her up. Her stepsister slaps her up. So she was punching her. The mom was treating her like crap. Dad is a drug addict. You could tell. The whole movie is just pretty much the wrong place at the wrong time for him. While Natalie Portman was the same thing. Wrong place at the wrong time. While the father took a brick of cocaine from Gary Oldman, and they knew that something was wrong, and pretty much that's all. I mean, they killed the entire family in noon the next day. At noon. Well, 12:01. Because it went over by one. Yeah. So at 12:01. So that's pretty much the whole movie in a nutshell. Then everything starts to unfold from there. But in terms of the character, Leon, I like Leon a lot. It's funny. He's very quiet. I like him a lot. I think he's a great actor. Yeah. Very good actor. And I'm very surprised I haven't seen him more in action movies, because he fits that type of role, right? Because every movie I've seen him in is like comedies. Like, I've seen him in Couples Retreat, which I think is mad funny. Yeah.
How about Ronin? Have you seen Ronin?
Yeah, I never seen Ronin. But Pink yeah, Panther? I love him. Pink Panther. My man Pouton. That's my man Pouton. Oh, man. But yeah, but in terms of him, I like him in this movie. Now, he's a cleaner / hitman. You don't see much of him doing work. You see him doing a little bit here and there, but it's not a lot. Because I guess they're focusing on the Natalie Portman's character and his much. But I thought we were going to get a little bit more of him and the Italians doing some other work. You do get a job, though. He does do a job here and there. When he leaves the house, and he comes back bloody. But they don't show you. Sometimes they do, but sometimes they don't. It's just like you are presuming you know that he came back from doing something. So Natalie Portman's character, like I said, I kind of understood. She's the one that screwed up everything. But then again, they both screwed up everything, because he went on the rampage killing this dude's friends. And then all of a sudden she went and she went to do it herself and couldn't do it, which I was just like, oh, man, I was like, son of a bitch. And, I mean, it's a 90s movie, to be honest with you, because like 90s movie does stuff like this. It's rare that you get writings like this in 2024 where the character doesn't listen to the main character, and then that she's the one that puts this dude in his fate. It's done. But they both did it to themselves at the end of the day. So it's not like you can't blame Matilda on this one more than Leon. Leon and her did the same thing. It's just opposites, where she should have not did it. But anyway, I gave them a 5. I think as a pair, they were great. But very creepy. It is a very creepy dynamic.
Yeah, that's usually the kind of complaint. And I could see it. I personally have seen this movie so many times that I no longer really find it too creepy. Because while I get what you're saying, and you're right. She's young. She's 12. She falls in love. Who does? What 12-year-old kid hasn't, fallen in love with like a teacher or not in a weird way. I'm not saying that the teacher loves them back. I'm just saying like the kid is like, when you're a kid, you have crushes on older people. That's mm-hmm. not really strange. It would be weird if he was also, and then I would hate this movie. I would hate it, honestly. I never got that vibe from him. I got it more like, because at the end he's like, he tells her, I love you, but it always felt like more paternal, more protective, more, you had a hard life. You're like an injured little bird that I took care of, and I love you. So I do like that at least they didn't go down that creepy route of like anything other than that. But the first time I watched it, I felt the exact same way as you. I was like, this is kind of...
Well, dude, there's a scene that she's doing the Marilyn Monroe, Mr. President. She's doing the like a virgin. I was like, oh my God, this is no bueno.
And that's more on the director than anything. Than the character. Well, Luc Besson is a... I think when he married that late girl, she was young. So I think that's sort of his proclivity. But hey, look, I'm just talking about the characters in the film. I think they're great. I think they're both fleshed out. Leon, yes, you're right, quiet, but you see he had like when he goes to the movies and he's like, he loves classic kind of movies, American culture. He's trying to like learn because he's a French guy. He's the Italian mob. I don't know if he's supposed to be Italian in the movie. I don't think so, but I think he works with the Italians as like their cleaner. I love that she wants to learn. She's like his apprentice. Like he's going to teach her. And there was always rumors of like a sequel where they show her grown up as a... I still would like to see it, to be honest with you.
She's at the age, so...
She looks great. Natalie Portman's a great actress. And I will say, her performance in this showed what I think she would become because her performance is great. Just the scene when she shows up at his house and she's crying and she's like trying to, wanting him to open the door when all those people are out there. I felt so bad for her because you already seen her get smacked in the head. Her sister beat her up. They shot her little brother. Yeah. She's terrified. She has a lot of great scenes in this movie. I gave them a 5 as well. I think as a pair, I like them. And as individuals, I like them. And you're right. As far as him doing the jobs, it's almost like at that opening scene, like you just see people die. He's so good. He's such a stealth like killer. You don't even see him really. You just see people die. You don't even really see him do it. So interesting way to show you what this guy's capable of without him like talking or being like Mike Banning in London Has Fallen. Where he's just running around. No, he's sneaking around, killing you. Villains. So we got a group of villains, but the main villain, Norman Stansfield, he is a DEA agent, corrupt, played by Gary Oldman. He's involved in some drug deals. He knows the mobs. He's a dirty DEA agent. And then he has his like little henchman.
Gary Oldman is a great actor. He has to be one of our top generational actors because he could play anything. And in this one is no different. Again, I never seen this role of him. I mean, I've seen him as villains like Dracula, and I see him in Fifth Element. We've seen him as Commissioner Gordon. I never seen him as the church guy. The church that he played, that he won an Oscar for the church.
Oh, Churchill. Oh, yeah.
That one.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never seen him in that role, but I heard that he was like amazing in that role. So to see him in this role, I was like, all right, let me see how he really portrays a villain, right? Like, I gotta say, I was very stunned. I was very shocked. It's funny because there's some parts that I felt like he was like over the top, but it's 90s. And that's the thing is like, I like 90s movies. Like the more we go back to the 90s, like we watch 90s action movies, I do enjoy them more because I feel like the scripts are more grounded. They're like more fun. It's not over the top villains. Like, but in this one, his performance was sometimes over the top. And I was just like, okay, great, whatever. But he was always high. And I was like, damn, no one knows that this guy is like even when the bosses is like, walk me through it. This dude was already high. He was just like, yeah, he turned around, he had a gun, and he shot all over the place. Yeah. And they were like, that's it. So anyway, I thought he was fantastic. Like really good, like top notch, fantastic. I don't know what he took in those pills. He cracked and he's like,
he does that weird thing.
Yeah, I was like, what is wrong with him? But, you know, even the scene in the beginning when he's doing the Mozart music and shooting everyone, and I thought it worked very well. So, yeah, I gave him a 5 also. I thought he was very good. And the scene in the bathroom was very tense. Very tense. Because he put her in her place, like, mad fast. Because I was like, what is this? I was like, what training did you get? Because I was like, I didn't understand what was her plan. I just think she just went in there.
She was acting like a 12-year-old kid. She had no shot.
And you know what? I like that scene because it literally put her ass in her place because she knew she was going to die right there and then. And he was so high. I think he was going to do her right there and then anyway and make something up. So yeah, I gave him a 5.
You're right. I'm glad you gave him a 5 because I gave him a 5. This is one of my favorite roles of Gary Oldman. And I would say he plays a character with a lot of quirks. The pill thing, I always, it's interesting. Okay, what's more interesting? You're watching a movie and a guy just pops a pill and he's high, or he does this weird thing that maybe he seems kind of OCD. Because if you notice, every time he takes the pill, he shakes it, he listens to it, and then he does it. It could just be a weird OCD thing where he has to do it like that. And that, you know, people have weird stuff. But other than that, the dude is evil. First of all, he kills that whole family. He kills the daughter. They kill a 4-year-old boy. This movie is, I could see why some critics might feel like they don't love it as much too, because it's violent. It's a violent movie. This is a hard movie. It's not like soft and no, they're killing kids. They're shooting at kids. You thought he was going to kill her in the bathroom. I thought he was going to kill her in the bathroom. Great scene between the two. Even though she's a kid, she was great in that scene. And he was like, who made the food? Where's it from? What's in it? What's that? Oh, you know, whatever. She's like, she doesn't know. She's got a bag full of guns. She doesn't even get to take out. He's amazing. I always love the part at the end where he's like, you know, he's talking to the guy. He's like, get everyone. And he's like, what do you mean? He's like, everyone. Oh, yeah. He like screams in his face. I always love that clip. And because the best part is the payoff, literally, there's like, he even says, he's like, you're telling me we got 200 people in here and we can't find one guy? Like,
and a little girl.
He's so mad. So yeah, I think he's amazing. And you got to give him bonus points. You know, one thing me and you always like to score, because this is our podcast, is does the villain fight the last guy? And in this case, it's not so much a fight, but he kills him. So any movie where the villain actually kills the main character, I feel like you have to, I mean, he died, but he's the bad guy. And how many movies do we do? The bad guy almost always dies. But does the villain, I mean, does the main character always die? No. So yeah. He walked up behind him. I do love the way they do that scene too, where he's walking and then it's just like a flash of white.
That's a very dope. Yeah, that was a very directing. That was really nice. I was like, whoa, I was like, what happened to him? He fainted? But then
that was a cool way to portray that he getting shot in the back of your head or whatever. So,
well, he was happy too. Like he was walking or having like, yeah, mm-hmm. I'm out this bitch.
Like, I made it and nope. But then he has the grenade. He's like, this is from Matilda. He's like, oh, shoot. That explosion was insane, too.
That was another scene that I liked a lot. He was like, I told you guys to go up there and be quiet and not blow out the floor. Because he blew up the entire apartment. Oh,
yeah.
He's like, what's going on up there?
I told you to get him, not blow up the building.
Yeah.
Because they shoot that rocket launcher. Anyway, great villain. The characters in this movie, fantastic. All right, let's get to the meat and potatoes. I'm interested to hear your thoughts on this part because I'm interested to hear him. What do you think of the action?
Oh, so there's not much action in this movie. For a movie that's called Professional, there's not as much. If you really look into it, it's them in the apartment, him trying to get out, and they're just destroying the apartment, which I'll talk in storyline. But yeah, pretty much that scene. Then you got the scene, I mean, prior to that, I mean, you have the beginning scene with the family getting killed. You have the ending kill, the explosions, and when he dies, sacrifices himself with the bad guy.
You got the fat guy at the beginning, that scene.
Oh, then you got the, yeah, it was stealth. But other than that, I'm like, there's not much. It's more story driven. In this one, I feel like this movie is more story driven with spurts of good action that's like more than 10 minutes. It was like, okay, we're going to give you 10 minutes length so you guys don't fall asleep. And then we bring you back to story driven characters. So, and then in between, it's like Natalie Portman learning how to shoot. You know, she shot that dude from a long distance, which is like, looked like the governor or somebody she hit with a paintball a distance.
It's like a mayor or something. He's out for a job.
Something like that. So you had like those type of scenes and then her cleaning the guns. So I gave it a 4. I gave it a 4 because honestly, like for a movie called The Professional, I thought it was going to be more, you know, more action driven with story. I'm not saying nothing wrong with whatever. I'm just saying is like for me, with a title called Leon the Professional, I thought we were going to go straight. I thought he was going to do more stuff. And which, it was flawless, the action sequences. But I gave it a 4 because it wasn't as much to me. So
I agree with you. And that's why I told you not to watch the director's cut or the international cut as well, because it's 20 minutes longer with zero extra action scenes. So it would have felt even less. So I don't really like it. I agree with everything you said. This movie, you have the opening scene where he's killing all those guys. It is stealth, but it's cool. Right. Like my thing why I like it is the way the Luc Besson shoots the action is great. There's not a lot, but I love the stealthy kind of nature. I do love that guy that like looks over the stairs and he just pops out and like pulls his tie down and throws him down the stairs. Awesome. I also love when it's in the shadow and you just see the knife come out on the throat and then his face. Like visually, it looks incredible. Like it's so well shot. But a lot of bullets. One scene, 5 minutes. Then you have the family, the scene with the family. That one's pretty intense. When that lady gets shot in the bathtub is always like memorable to me. Like she's just chilling, listening to whatever. And that guy just comes in, boom, blows her away with the shotgun. Like, holy crap. And then you have the final scene, which that's the big kind of set piece. We get rocket launchers. We get a lot of bullets.
Yeah,
we get him. I love the scene where he's above the door and he comes down upside down and he's shooting them. Like, it's cool. At least give me something cool and different. That was fun. And then the explosion at the end, this was pre-CGI. So there's just literally a big fireball that shoots out of that building when he blows up the grenades. I gave it a 4 as well because of it's so well done, but there's not a ton. This is a story-driven movie with action rather than an action movie with a good story. You know what I mean? Like, it's the other way around. Its strengths are other stuff while the action's still well done and well shot. So we agree there. 4 and 4. All right, storyline.
All right, so the storyline is pretty good. For a 90s movie, it still holds up, which I'm very shocked, especially this type of movie. Very creepy, though. Very creepy between the two. Like I said, we talked about it a bit in terms of the dynamics. It's a very creepy storyline. If you look at it from a far distance, instance, you're like, whoa, what the hell? But it's a typical DEA agent bad guy, you know, at the end of everything. One person takes something from their lot, and then they want to find out who, and then they kill everybody. And then within there, someone gets thrown in the mix and then unfolds everything. So, and then they're after the girl of the family. So, like, for me, I thought it was told very well for this type of story. I thought it was really good. My only problems with this movie, to be really honest with you, is that these people are throwing hails of bullets inside an apartment building with no one getting hit. I mean, this guy was attached to two different apartments, and these dudes are throwing grenades and rocket launchers and shooting, I mean, bullets through everywhere. And I'm like, what's the casualty? Like, I didn't understand how that works. Like, even Gary Oldman busted into this thing with five dudes and shotgun shooting, and no one called the cops. Like, cops would have been there like mad quick. But I just felt like it was very like those things. I was just like, it was just like, okay, like, what is the response?
Remember
time
when the old
here?
Lady comes out and she's like, what's all that noise? And he shoots right behind her.
Yeah.
Go back in your apartment.
Yeah. And that was another funny part too. I loved it because the guy's like calming him down and he's like, here, take a cigarette. Relax. Relax.
He's like, relax. Like, I am relaxed. He's like, yeah, stay that way.
Yeah. He's like, how about we go inside and you know, and relax. And yeah. I thought, like, you know, and you know, that character reminded me of another movie. Was it Hook? With Smee?
The friend? Like Smee?
Yeah. Remember Smee?
Yeah,
and Hook?
Kind of. Yeah.
And he was like, oh, I'm depressed, me. And he was like, oh no, Hook. And he's like, he's changing. He's like, oh, you're beautiful.
That's why he
and
got so mad when Leon killed him with the Chinese guys. Gotcha. Then he went full revenge. Like, that was my guy who calmed me down. It was my right-hand man.
Yeah, my Smee. Yeah. I always liked that with Smee when he was like, oh, Smee, I'm so depressed. And he was like, I got you, Captain. But yeah, so I gave it a 5. Because I thought at the end of everything, I thought everything worked very well. You got where the hero is, who the hero was, what he does. Then you got, you know, the sidekick, her tragic, you know, her like Dick Grayson's tragedy type thing. Now they join forces over this guy. So I thought it was very well done. I didn't think it was like boring at all or nothing. So I gave it a 5.
I agree. I gave it a 5. I think it's perfect. I don't have any problems with it. Okay, sure. Creepy nature aside, again, I think this movie actually benefits from rewatches. Like, I think the more you see it, it like, because now you're aware of that kind of dynamic. It's a little jarring the first time you watch it, but I do think it's great. I love the, I love that it's set in New York. You know, I love a good New York movie, and it's small scale, right? It's like, but it looks like, you know, the little corner store, the little dirty hotel, especially like 90s, you know, mid 90s New York, the apartment, the old apartment building. Yeah, you have that the bond between Leon and Matilda that I love. I even like Danny Aiello as Tony, the guy who's like his guy, his Italian guy. Yeah. And at the end, he's like, you know, he put money aside for you. I'll give you money. I'm like a bank, but better because I won't get robbed. You come see me, I'll give you some money, blah, blah, blah. And then she goes to that like school for girls or whatever at the end and plants the tree. Like, I love everything about it. You know what I mean? Like, I just think it's great. I think it's like the ending part, it's kind of sad, you know, and her walking away, and she knows, like, he knows she's going to live. So he's like glad she got out of there. And I just think it's fantastic. Great villain. And it all makes, like, sure, there's over the top things about it. Like you said, like, oh, no one's coming out of this apartment building, whatever. Or the thing with the pill. Yeah, there's like little moments, quirks, but I think everything kind of makes sense, right? Like, movie starts, drug deal gone bad. Not even a drug deal. The dude is stealing. He's diluting the cocaine. So they like, it was 100% pure. Now it's 90%. He's like, I didn't do it. And they're like, well, tell us who did. That's how the whole thing kicks off. And Leon just sort of ends up getting involved because this girl knocks on his door and he can't let her die. From there, great movie. I love it. So I gave it a 5. You gave it a 5. What's your overall?
Okay, so I gave it a 5. You know, it's not that it's a perfect movie, because it's hard to be like giving shit perfect and perfect. I just think in terms of perfect is that the story was flawless. And I think when you get emotionally attached to the film, where you feel bad for characters, you feel sad when the hero dies, but then, you know, takes out the bad guy, you're like, you know what? He did what he had to do. And I felt like at the end, I felt like everything genuinely worked well with this movie. I thought the action did very well. And I liked when he even went into the DEA office and shot those dudes in there. At the end of everything, I felt like the movie was really good. Like, no flaws. Like, I would have been like, there's no flaw in this movie. I mean, I can't even see this movie being remade now. Unless they change that dynamic with between him and her.
Yeah, but they'd have to really that, like dial it back kid, a million percent. She, the girl character would have to just be not like how teenager. She is in this movie.
Yeah, has to be like a teenager. Like,
and she cannot be like in love with him. She has to just be like, you know, they have to, they'd have to throw all that out the window.
Yeah, I agree. So anyway, with that, I gave it a 5.
Yeah, me too. I love this movie. This is like one of my top favorite 90s movies. As far as Luc Besson goes, to me, this was when he was at his peak. Like, La Femme Nikita, this, and Fifth Element. After that, he did some stuff I liked, some stuff I didn't like. He wrote and produced a lot of action, just like pure act, you know, transporter movies, things like that. This is like, as far as his filmmaking goes, I think this is like, this and Fifth Element are his peak. Fifth Element's way weirder than this, but it just, it's so entertaining. Whereas this is a little more normal, and but it's beautifully shot. It's very well directed. The acting is great. Great cast. Even like I said, Danny Aiello, great actor, like a character actor. He's great. Natalie Portman was a discovery. She's fantastic. Jean Reno, great. Gary Oldman, great. And it ends with that song from Sting, from the one about the guys playing cards or whatever, Shape of My Heart. I always like that song. So I like that. And I think it's, to me, one of the best. Is it the best action movie? No. But is it one of the best movies? I love it. I think it's fantastic. So I gave it a 5. I'm glad you enjoyed it as well and gave it a 5. What's your, we have the same total points. Maybe 24 out of 25.
Yeah, it's 24. I'm going to be honest with you. I think this is his best written movie. Fifth Element to the side. I mean, that's a sci-fi movie, but I think sometimes, yeah, it's weird as hell, but that has sometimes some quirky flaws in it.
Yeah.
But I think in terms of from beginning to end, like you're just there sitting down enjoying the film. I think this is his literally masterpiece of a film.
I won't argue with you. I won't argue with you. I think I've seen The Fifth Element more, and I think on a pure popcorn level, that's better. But on a filmmaking level, I think this is better.
Yeah,
I think The Professional is the better
movie. Yeah.
So, all right. Well, we got his best out of the way because we've done both of those. So there might be some Luc Besson in the future, but will it be this good? Nope. But it might be okay. So anyway, that's The Professional, a 90s classic. Absolutely. Let's go to what we've got coming up. We already mentioned last episode, we're going to be starting a new franchise, 3 movies, the Riddick franchise. So that's Pitch Black, Chronicles of Riddick, and then Riddick. With that comes a new theme. So I'm going to tell you these movies. Everybody at home is going to be very excited because this is our first time covering these movies or these types of movies. We're going to have paired with those, we're going to have Lone Wolf. We're going to have a little Code of Silence, and we're going to have a little The Delta Force. I'm talking Chuck Norris movies. We are going to be doing some space movies and some Chuck Norris. We have not done any Chuck Norris, like where he's the lead. We did Expendables 2. He was in that. But we have not done a single Chuck Norris movie. So we're going to do 3 this month. I've never seen any of these. I've never seen any of them. So I'm not, these are discoveries for me. I'm not a Chuck Norris guy.
I never seen the code. What do you say?
Code of Silence.
Oh, never seen that. I have Delta Force. I always see that one.
Lone Wolf McQuade.
So what's the first one we're doing? What's episode 332?
Lone Wolf McQuade.
Lone Wolf McQuade.
Of the 3. Where is it? I have them somewhere. I was going to something. Oh, here they are. Okay. Lone Wolf McQuade. Okay. Lone Wolf McQuade. Chuck Norris. David Carradine is in this. So he's always fun. Code of Silence. Okay. Rated R. By the way, that's what I like. Stars Chuck Norris. Literally no one else is listed on here, so I guess it's just a Chuck Norris movie. And then the Delta Force, of course, Lee Marvin.
Oh, no, yeah, it has Lee Marvin. That one it has Chuck Norris.
I'm excited. I've never seen none of these movies. Let's see what's up with Chuck Norris. I only remember Walker, Texas Ranger when I was a kid. So
Delta Force has one of the best action movie themes.
Ooh.
Ever. Like, watch when you hear it. Okay. It's by, I believe, Alan Silvestri, whatever.
Delta Force?
Is it Alan Silver? Whatever.
Alan, he does Back to the Future?
Yeah.
He does, yeah. Music by Alan Silvestri.
Yes.
Okay.
It goes.
That's, Alan Silvestri's Back to the Future.
Yeah.
Now, Lone Wolf McQuade has music by Francesco De Masi. And I don't know who that is.
He's French.
He sounds for the bomb. Or Italian. Oh, you know who's in Code of Silence? Henry Silva. Remember him from, what was that movie we did where he was the Steven Seagal movie? Oh my God. The Steven Seagal movie that I didn't like that much. Not Out for Justice.
Hard to Kill?
Not Hard to Kill. Not Under Siege. The other one. What was the other one? What was the other one? Because we did four.
The other one. Was it Alpha Justice?
Above the Law.
Above the Law.
He's the bad guy from Above the Law. That has like that weird face. He was like a military guy.
Oh, yes. We called him Prune Face.
Him. He's in, he's in Code of Silence.
Oh, Jesus.
So there you go. You know, we're in for a treat.
He could have played Clayface for DC.
He looked like his face was made out of clay in real life. And these movies are from 1983, 1985, and 1986.
Oh, there's going to be some 80s action.
Movies. Let's see how it goes. It's going to be an interesting month. These are totally different. 2000s sci-fi action and 80s Chuck Norris movies. What a pairing.
Mm, yeah. And Chuck Norris was also in a Bruce Lee movie. He fights him.
Game of Death.
Yeah, that one. So anyway, with that said, guys, you guys want to follow us on our social media accounts, please follow Nate over on Instagram at Nateflix Reviews. Check out the podcast with him and his friends called Nateflix Movie Reviews. Anything action movie, guys, head over to youtube.com/action movie guys. Subscribe. Leave some comments on your favorite episodes. And of course, you can take us on the go with the Action Movie Guys podcast, available on all podcast platforms. Rate us, leave us some comments. And also, you guys can follow Geeks and Flicks over on Instagram and TikTok. Geeks, the letter N. Flicks, other than that, he is your host,
Nate from Nateflix Reviews.
I'm his co-host, Ash Figueroa. Be awesome to each other and geek out.